I have said it before and I'll say it again. I love that sound. It is just this beautiful buzz of conversation. There's not 1,000 people here. Dozens of conversations between you. It's just a beautiful, beautiful sound. And we don't have time to hear all of the stories, but each of these friends means so much to us that friends make life better, don't they? They make the good things better, they make the tough parts easier, that friends make life better, but they don't always make life perfect. Like, even if you have friends, things can be tough, things can be broken, things can be uncertain. Do you know the song Castle on the Hill by Ed Sheeran? It's a great sing-along song. Not like the best life choices, but in one line in Castle on the Hill, Ed Sheeran says this. He's reflecting on his friends. He says, one friend left to sell clothes, one works down by the coast, one had 2 kids but lives alone, one's brother overdosed, one's already on his second wife, one's just barely getting by, but these people raised me and I can't wait to go home. And so there's this picture that life is hard. It's broken, it's imperfect, things happen that we don't expect, but there's something beautiful about having friends and loved ones to walk with us through it. This line, these people raised me, and I can't wait to go home. Emily and I, when we go on vacation, we were on vacation for a few weeks, we often try and visit churches, and I figure it's a no-lose situation, because if we visit a church and we love it, that's great. If we visit a church and it's awful, we're so thankful for you, and so we're just happy to come home. And so for me, that's part of my heart this morning, is that I'm just so glad to come home to this church. So friends are important. Family is important. Life is meant to be lived together, but there's more to life than just good friends or a close family. That's important, but relationships, there's more to relationships than that. And we're going to get a deeper picture of that in our text today. We're finishing up the book of Colossians. This is our last Sunday. And I was telling someone, this is the last week in Colossians. And they said to me, you should call your sermon Colossians. And I'm like, that's really good. Can I give you credit? And they're like, absolutely not. So it's not my idea. It's someone's idea here. And I love the idea. Colossians. It's our very last week. But over the past 3 months, we've been going through 4 chapters in Colossians. And there's been a lot there. We're unpacking the life that we have in Jesus. And today we're looking at the last half of the last chapter. There's only 4 chapters in the whole book. And Paul takes one half of an entire chapter to talk about the people in his life. It's kind of like his Castle on the Hill moment. And it's a little bit like George Lucas. Now, George Lucas made what famous story? Star Wars. Now, George Lucas did something that got him in a lot of trouble with his movies. He had to pay the equivalent of about $2 million in fines. He left the Writers Guild and he left the Directors Guild. So I'm going to play a clip of Star Wars, see if you can figure out what George Lucas did that made so many people so mad. Carter, James, if we can roll that clip. So far, so good. All right. What did George Lucas do that was so bad? No credits! Man, people here have played Star Wars trivia before. George Lucas was supposed to put who wrote the story and who directed it before the story starts. According to the Writers Guild and Directors Guild, first the people, then the story. And George Lucas said, no, we're starting with story, and then we're talking about people. And so if you know that he didn't say that at the beginning, it makes the ending that much more interesting. So Carter, can you show the next one there? This is the very end of the first movie. There we go. And so George Lucas, he wanted to start with the story and then talk about the people. And Paul here in Colossians, he starts out and he says, hey, dear church, I got so much stuff to tell you about Jesus. And he unpacks the story of what life in Jesus is. And now at the end, he talks about the people. So you can't have story without people. And so Paul jumps into the story, and now we get to know the names. So if you want to turn in your pew Bibles to page 554, if you look at that pew Bible and you're like, that looks nice, take it home. We want you to have it. If you have your own Bible, that's great, or Bible app works as well. But we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. And it says this, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to the Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So when we read God's word on a Sunday morning, I say, this is the word of the Lord. You say, thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? God, we pray that you would help us understand these relationships that you've given us. We pray that you would open our ears to hear what you're saying, Holy Spirit, that you would soften our hearts to respond, that we would be a people that look more like you than we do right now. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So there's some really interesting verses in Colossians. These are not them. This kind of sounds like roll call or attendance at school. Adam, Addison, Adriana. And so when we read this, this might be the part of the Bible that we're tempted to skip, to just kind of flip a page and see what happens next. But you can't have a story without the people. And people have names. So for 3.5 chapters, Paul has been talking about the life in Christ and what the church has. And now he's saying the church has names, the names of these people. These are the people living the life that we have in Christ. Now, does anyone here really love a crowd? Like, you never feel so comfortable as when you're surrounded by hundreds of people pressing in. Anyone's like, not so much. I have to be honest, I'm a not so much crowds kind of guy. And so when Aldergrove launched almost 3 years ago, I have to be honest, I actually felt really overwhelmed on a Sunday. There was way more people here than I was expecting. There was a lot of Sundays I just wanted to go to my office. Like, it was way too many people. And as a pastor, I felt like I was supposed to know everyone. And the church is the people, and I'm like, well, I'm supposed to know the people, and that was overwhelming. But actually, verses like this really helped me because I remembered that people is just persons, and persons have names. And so over the last 3 years, as I've learned names and gotten to know people, it's gone from overwhelming to these are the people that I know and that I love. And so it's not just nameless faces, but it's Deb and Julianne. It's Barb and Randy. It's James. It's the people I know. It's the people I love. And so the names are the church. We are the church. And there's something beautiful about putting names to these people. So we're going to go through and we're going to unpack a little bit about these people and see what we can learn from them. Now, Tychicus, if you want, you can call him Tychicus. And if you are like really close to the person beside you, I'm just kidding, don't. Don't do that. But Tychicus, he traveled a lot with Paul. He would travel with him, he would travel for him, he would take messages back and forth. And so Paul says, I am sending Tychicus to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, if you look back one page in your Bible, Paul says that he's writing the entire letter of Colossians for a simple reason. In Colossians 2, he says, my goal is that you would be encouraged in heart, that you would be united in love, that you would have the full riches of complete understanding so that you would know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And so Paul says, the purpose of writing this letter is so that you would be encouraged in heart and united in love. And he says, I'm sending you Tychicus so that you would be encouraged in heart. See, God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit to our hearts. He speaks through his word, and he also speaks through people. Some of it up here, some of it from the team, some of it for myself, but a lot of it happens from the church, that God speaks through his people. So a few years ago, Emily and I had a really tough decision to make, and we were really wrestling, and we were going back and forth, and we kind of landed, and we're like, I think this is what God wants us to do, but I don't know. And have you ever had a situation like that where you're like, is this what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know? And so we were wrestling, and we weren't sure, but we thought we had landed, and out of the blue, my friend Stephen, and we hadn't told Stephen any of this. Stephen, he said, I woke up, and I wanted to text you and say, God's saying you're making the right decision. And he didn't know anything about it. See, we weren't sure. We were struggling. We were uncertain. And God spoke to Stephen to tell us something. And in that, he encouraged our hearts. See, God works through his people. Paul is sending Tychicus to encourage the hearts. And so for you, when has someone encouraged your heart? And did you recognize that as God speaking to you through someone else? When have you needed advice? When were you going through a tough time and someone was just there? And maybe God has spoken through you to someone else. Maybe you have felt something really important to tell someone, and you might feel like you might get it wrong, but I would encourage you, be humble, be prayerful. But the power in letting God use us to encourage each other is so significant. And so God speaks to us through each other. Now Tychicus, he was a free man. He wasn't a slave, which means he could go where he wanted and do whatever he wanted. But Paul calls Tychicus a fellow servant. He says, this guy is a slave of Jesus. And slave, that's a big word. It's really complex. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, so I would encourage, if you missed that sermon, go back and listen on what was slavery back then, what does slavery now look like. But Tychicus was a free man, and Paul says, actually, he's a servant. He's a slave of Jesus. And Onesimus was traveling with Tychicus, and if you were in the sermon a couple weeks ago, again, you learned that Onesimus was a runaway slave. So he couldn't go wherever he wanted or do whatever he wanted. And what does Paul call Onesimus? He doesn't call him a servant of Jesus. He says he is a faithful and dear brother. See, the free man is called a servant of Jesus. And the slave is called a dear brother. See, life in Jesus, it changes our identity. It changes our relationships. Now, tomorrow is September, which means summer is over and Christmas is basically here. Is anyone ready for Christmas? A couple people? Well, I was thinking maybe this morning we could sing a couple Christmas carols to get us in the mood. Maybe jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Deck the halls. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. We're not feeling it. How about the third verse of O Holy Night? Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppressions shall cease. See, this is the power of life in Christ. This is the power of relationships in Christ, is that slaves in bondage who lacked freedom, they encounter Jesus, they encounter the church, and these people that are slaves are called dear brother. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. See, life in Jesus changes our identity, and it changes
our relationships. And just after the time that Paul wrote this letter, the church in the area got a new bishop. It got a new leader. And the name of the leader of the church in the area was Onesimus. And we don't know if it was the same Onesimus, but there's a chance that the Onesimus who was the slave encounters Christ, experiences freedom, and becomes the leader of the church. See, life in Jesus, it transforms our identity. And the beauty of the church is that it doesn't matter who we are out there. It's different in here. See, and I don't mean the building. I don't mean like the walls. I mean within the community of God's people. That out there, it matters if you're smart or if you're pretty or if you're rich. And if you're smart or pretty or rich, you have lots of friends and you can be very successful. And in here, that doesn't matter. That we don't make friends with each other based on smartness or prettiness or richness. We are friends because we know Jesus. The community in here is different. I love our life group. We've got a great life group. But I was thinking this week that I would never be friends with the people in my life group, not because I don't like them, but because outside of Jesus, I wouldn't know them. That Jesus brings together people who live in different neighborhoods and have different jobs and have different interests. And now I can know and love and be friends with people I would never have met otherwise. So life in Jesus means we get to hang out with people who are different from us. We don't have life together just because we're smart or rich or beautiful or free, but because of Jesus. And so for you, who do you get to hang out with who is different from you? Maybe you're sitting beside someone right now that never in a million years would you have met them. Maybe someone in your life group, maybe a friend, maybe someone you serve with, maybe a spouse or a best friend you actually met in a place like this. See, Jesus, he gives us the opportunity to be someone different than who we are out there. That our identity has changed. The life in Jesus is life together with people who are different from us. Paul then talks about Aristarchus. We could call him Eric if you want. Mark and Justice, or Jesus called Justice. Now, Jesus was a common name back then. We're not talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus, just another guy with the same name. Lots of cultures still use the name Jesus. We do too, but we use the Hebrew version, Joshua. So, not the same Jesus, just a guy with the same name. And Paul says that they are his only fellow Jews and that they have been a great comfort to him. Now, we might hear this and say, whoa, did Paul only hang out with people who were the exact same as him? And Paul's actually saying it's the opposite, that everybody else he hung out with was completely different. These were the only people that were the same as him. And there can be great comfort hanging out with people who just get you. Have you ever experienced that? Hanging out with someone who just understands you, understands the music you like, the food you like, understands how fast or how slow you like to go, what time you like to wake up. There's something about life with people who just get you. Emily and I lived in Korea a few years ago, and our church was small. It was 40 people. And of those 40 people, we had people from 14 different countries. And so it was this rich, diverse community with lots of people that I never would have met if it wasn't for Jesus. And even though we had amazing friends from all over the world, sometimes we were homesick. And so three of our friends were Josh, Becky, and Corey, and I've got a picture of them here. So it's myself and Emily. Emily's quite pregnant there with Ezra. So Ezra was born about 10 minutes after this picture. I'm just kidding. It was a while after. But then that's Josh, Becky, and Corey. And we spent a lot of time together. We served at church together. We went on trips together. We would pray together. We would cry together when things were hard. We played games and laughed until our stomachs hurt. We would argue about theology and what it meant to be a husband and wife. It was an incredible relationship. And we spent a lot of time together, but one time I remember spending with Josh and Becky was at 4:15 in the morning, March 1st, 2010. And some of you weren't born then. So that's fun. But chances are, if you were born, you were doing the same thing that we were doing, which is watching the Canada versus America gold medal match in Olympics. Some of you weren't, some of you were, but that was at 12:15 noon here, which for us was 4:15 in the morning. And not a lot of people in Korea watched hockey, and even fewer cared about this game. But we got together with Josh and Becky, and at 4:15 in the morning, we were eating McDonald's breakfast watching Canada versus America. And Josh and Becky were American. Canada won. And so it was just, like, beyond that, it was such a great comfort. And yes, we served and we prayed. Like, all of that aside, it was such a comfort to do something we loved with people we loved. And so I sent Josh and Becky a message, and I said, hey, are you guys okay if I talk a little bit about our friendship? Are you okay if I show this picture? And Becky wrote back, and she said, I know that picture well. And then she sent this picture here. And she has printed that picture and has it up in her room. And so it's these people that we haven't seen for 15 years. And there's this love and this comfort that we still bring to each other. And see, that's life in Jesus. And so who do you have that has been a great comfort to you? That maybe you've been homesick. Maybe you've been home and sick. Maybe you've felt alone. Maybe you felt unseen. Maybe you were hurting. Who is it that has come and sat with you? Who is it that said, hey, do you want to play with me? Who is it that's brought you food or sent you a text? Who has been that great comfort to you? And who have you been a great comfort to? Maybe you're the one that says, hey, is everything okay? Maybe you're the one that says, hey, you want to come join me for lunch? Maybe you're the one that says the text and says, hey, how are you doing? But there's comfort that comes in these relationships, great comfort. And Paul next, he talks about Pastor Epaphras. You can call him Pat if you want. Now Epaphras, he's not called pastor here, but it seems that he had a relationship with the church in Colossae like a pastor in a church. Epaphras loved the church. The church loved Epaphras. And Epaphras was far away. And it can be hard to be far away from someone you love. All my family's in Edmonton. And so we're away for a lot of the good things that happen through the year. We're away for things like birthdays and holidays. We're away for the tough stuff too. This year, since January, we've had 3 people in my family pass away. And so last week, that's actually where Emily and I were, was for the 3rd memorial this year. And it can be hard to be away from the people you love. And so sometimes in the past, what I've said, when I hear that something tough is going on, the question the thing I will say is, let me know if I can do anything. Have you ever used this with someone? Someone's like, oh, I'm going through a tough time, da 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 da, and you're like, oh yeah, well, let me know if I can do anything. And I'm trying to stop this for 2 reasons. One, part of me just wants to feel like I did something when actually I did nothing. And secondly, it makes the other person responsible for figuring out and coordinating my help for them. And right now, if they're in the middle of tough stuff, probably they don't have bandwidth to coordinate their own support response. And so I'm trying not to use let me know if I can do anything. Instead, what I'm trying to do is to offer support. Something like, hey, can I bring you a meal? Or if you're far away from someone, hey, can I order you a pizza? Or maybe something like, would your kids want to come hang out on Tuesday? Or can I pray with you right now? Or can I sit with you? Or if someone's at a distance or even just here, you can say, can I call you in a couple days just to check in? Or Epaphras, like him, you could say, can I wrestle in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured? That one's a little intense. But even when you're at a distance, you can wrestle in prayer for someone. See, meals are great, checking in is important, but prayer is always powerful. And you'll notice here, Paul doesn't say Epaphras would like to pray for you. He says Epaphras has been praying for you. And there's such a big difference between saying to someone, I will pray for you and I have been praying for you. And so that, let me know if I can do anything. Sometimes it can be helpful, but I think it's actually a lot more powerful if we just step into the things we know we can do. And so Epaphras, even at a distance, was showing love for the church. Luke, the dear friend, and Demas. See, part of life in Christ is having friends you live life with. Now, do you get to go to school with a good friend? Or do you get to work with a good friend? Maybe, hopefully. Maybe not. Maybe you're like, no, 5 o'clock comes and I don't know these people. But it's a blessing to be able to work with people you like, and I have that blessing. I get to work with Pastor Kevin. And I didn't really know Pastor Kevin, so I didn't start working with a friend, but over the past 3 years, we've become very good friends. We've gotten to know each other. We get to talk a lot about work. We get to talk about life. We get to talk about hockey. He's a Canucks fan, I'm an Oilers fan. There's always something we can discuss. We get to do fun things together. We get to carpool and go on road trips. He just dropped us off and picked us up at the airport when we flew out and back from Edmonton last week. If I have something good, I'm excited to tell Kevin about it because I know he'll be excited. So the whole time on our vacation, Emily and I are texting Kevin and Christine, and we're sending them photos and showing them the stuff, and they're always excited for us. And when things are tough, I know I can talk to Kevin, and I know he'll listen and pray for me. And that happened this week, too. Paul had his dear friend, Luke, and I'm so thankful that I get to work with my dear friend, Kevin. Especially because he's that much older than me. He has that wisdom that just comes from age. It's like working with a much older brother, or maybe a young uncle. From him, I get to learn what the 70s were like. But see, friends in Christ aren't just having enough friends to play board games with. It's not just having someone to drop you off and pick you up at the airport. See, Paul talks about his dear friend, but he also talks about dear brothers and fellow ministers. He talks about people who are ministering together in the kingdom of God. And Kevin's a dear friend, but he's also a faithful minister. He's a co-worker in the kingdom of God. And so it's not just, do you have enough people to play the board game? It's, are your relationships actually existing within the kingdom of God? And see, sometimes we stop at friendships. We talk about sports, weather, politics, but we never get into the deep things of the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And so think about your friends for a moment. Think about maybe the friend you told someone else about. Do you want to become like them? If you are happy becoming like your friends, that's good because you will. And if you don't want to become like your friends, you still will. We become like our friends. And so do our friendships exist in the kingdom of God? Do our friendships include the real stuff? Not just dropping off and picking up at the airport, but the tough stuff, the prayer, the serving together, the difficult conversations. There are times when I know what I need to do and I don't want to do it. And I will tell Kevin, and he's like, you need to do that. When I'm wrestling with sin, I can talk to Kevin, and he will pray with me. It's not just board games and airports. It's the stuff of the kingdom of God. And at the end here, Paul talks about the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, Nympha, and the church in her home. Nympha, the use of Nympha here is surprising. It was countercultural that Paul would greet a woman in that role, and it was even more so that a woman would have that role, that she would be a leader and that it would meet in her church and that Paul would greet her in this way was shocking. But it was this beautiful controversy. The church is a place where the slave was called a brother, and women had the place to use their gifts in the church alongside men. It was a beautiful controversy. It was also a reminder that life in Jesus was not just about the church in Colossae, but a church worldwide and down the street. See, for us, we're here in Aldergrove, and we can look around and think, well, we're here and that's enough. But our Willowbrook campus is launching in just a month, and that's part of us. We've also got campuses at Walnut Grove and Yorkson. There's also CLA. There's churches in South Langley. There's churches in Surrey. There's churches in Slovenia and Slovakia and Sweden. See, we're part of something much, much bigger. We're part of a whole bunch of people that follow Jesus around the world. And Paul's saying, remember, it's not just you. Greet the people around the world. Greet Sergio in Mexico. Greet Pat and Rad in Thailand. Greet the missionaries who serve because they're part of you and you're part of them. Make sure you're reaching out outside of these walls. So life in church, life in Christ is life together with people around the world and down the street. And finally, the last one, Archippus. Poor Archippus. Paul says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. It would be like me saying, Michelle, if you're okay, everybody, make sure Michelle finishes her homework. And you're like, oh my word, I'm sorry, Michelle. And Michelle, I'm sure your homework is fine. But Paul says here, he says, tell Archippus, make sure you finish what you've received in the Lord. And Archippus had received a ministry, and there's something beautiful in the church, and Mennonites have a long history of saying, this is a gift I see in you. This is an opportunity I think God is giving you. This is, I think, what you should do. And there's this community of encouraging people. And that's step one. Step two is doing it. And so it's one thing to, oh, God has called me to be a teacher. God has called me to be a missionary. God has called me to do whatever. And you're like, oh, that's beautiful. Now do it. And so part of us in the church is helping people say, this is the gift I see in you. The second part is, hey, remember to do it. It's encouraging each other to keep going. So life in Christ is life together. And so I'm going to call the band up. And we're going to look really quick at what this means for us and three simple things. Number one, are you living life in Christ? For the past 3 months, we've been unpacking what does this life in Christ means, and this beautiful controversial community. It happens because of not us and our smartness and our richness and whatever else, but because of Jesus. And so are we living life in Christ? If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, well, Jesus would invite you to follow him, to turn from the way that you are living into a new way, to learn from him how to be like him. And if you have questions or want to meet Jesus, we have a prayer team here. Just talk to someone in a yellow lanyard. This is Wes. Wes is amazing. He will pray with you, but other people too. And so if you are not living life in Jesus, we would invite you to meet him. And secondly, is your life in Jesus lived together? So we've talked about lots of kind of people. Where are those people in your life? Are they a life group? Are they friends? Are they family? Are they neighbors? Maybe reach out. And in the same way Paul here, he's greeting and greeting and greeting and greeting. Maybe pop your phone out and greet a couple people. Hey, thanks for being a friend. Thanks for being so encouraging. Hey, I love you and I'm glad you're in my life. Just reach out and maintain these relationships. Secondly, where are you this person? Sometimes you might feel useless, but I wonder if these people who Paul names, that they felt encouraged, that Paul saw them. So where have you been this person for others? And where can you let this person in? Sometimes I'm happy to go and bring a meal to someone else, and if they offer to bring a meal to me, I'll say, no, thank you, I'm not that broken. But it's this feeling that I can help you, but don't you dare help me, and it's not healthy. But that we're willing to receive the same kind of help that we're willing to offer. So letting people in. See, in crisis, we often want relationship, but crisis isn't the time to start. We build the relationships, and when crisis happens, it helps us get it through. And sometimes we might be here on a morning, and you might feel like you don't belong. You might feel like you don't know anyone. And what this can create is a cycle of disconnect, that you show up, you feel like you don't belong, you don't talk to anyone, you leave. You show up, you feel like you don't belong, you don't talk to anyone, you leave. What happens is you just become further and further and further away from relationship. What I would encourage you to do, sometimes it's complex, sometimes there's hurt, but to actually work back into relationship, to take that step, to have the conversation, to stick around and sit at a table and say, hi, my name is, today. But to lean in and to start to encounter the beautiful relationships in the church. And finally, how can you continue to grow in a relationship within the kingdom of God? I would encourage you to find an apprentice group, like Pastor Kevin talked about. So would you please stand? If you would like prayer for something we talked about this morning or anything else at all, we have a prayer team at the front and at the back. We'd love to pray with you. But otherwise, I'm going to pray and the worship team is going to lead us in response. And so Jesus, we just ask that you'd help us to understand the beauty of the community that you've planted us in. How you speak, how you bring comfort, how you encourage and challenge us through each other. And so I pray that we would see you in each other. And we pray this in your name. Amen.